Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and from the Holy Spirit, who is our Comforter, our Helper, the one who leads us into all truth, dear fellow redeemed. The text for our meditation and application to our daily walk of faith on this Trinity Sunday is Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through 20, a section of Scripture also known as the Great Commission. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. I believe. We human beings believe a lot of things. Some of them are true. And some of the things that we believe might be the furthest thing from the truth. Belief can be a very powerful thing. A person or a company or a team that believes they can accomplish their goals can often do some amazing things, even above and beyond what was expected. I try to keep my sports analogies to a minimum, but I have to use one today. Those of you who are Bay Area sports fans might remember one of the most beloved sports teams in Bay Area history was a team that had the nickname We Believe. It was the 2007 Golden State Warriors. They were not expected to do very well in the playoffs, and they, despite the odds, had a huge upset in the first round of the playoffs against the Dallas Mavericks. They're still known to this day as the We Believe team. But belief in oneself, belief in your company or your coworkers or your teammates, it can only take you so far. The person who has the utmost belief in their abilities and skills is sometimes passed over for the job they apply for. Sometimes does not accomplish their ultimate goals. The company that believes in itself and its vision sometimes fails, sometimes goes bankrupt. And that beloved Warriors team in 2007, they didn't win the NBA championship that year. In fact, after that great upset in the first round, they got beat in the very next round of the playoffs. These are good reminders that as important as it is to believe, it's much more important what we believe and whom we believe in. And what better time to remember who it is that we believe in than on Trinity Sunday? The amazing three-in-one, unfathomable God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is the one true God that exists. It is this God whom we put our trust in as we confess each Sunday, I believe in God the Father, in God the Son, and in God the Holy Spirit. I believe in God the Father. Think of what it means that we call God our Father. There are a number of good reasons we call God our Father. First of all, he calls himself that in Scripture. That's reason enough, right? But think of why he calls himself Father. He is our Father because he created us and created all things. In our Old Testament reading from the very first verse of the Bible, we read that God is the Father and creator of this universe. Genesis 1:1 says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." The Bible also very clearly tells us that God the Father is still the preserver of us and all things. Psalm 145, verses 15 and 16 says, "The eyes of all look expectantly to you," a reference to God, "and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. Not just people, but every living thing. But God is also our Father in a more important way than just physically creating us and bringing us to life and preserving us in this life. He has made us His own children through faith in His Son, Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul writes in Galatians chapter 3, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus." And he intentionally uses the word sons there because the people of that day would recognize if we are a son of God, that means we are an heir of God. We inherit God's inheritance. And what we're going to inherit from God is, of course, His kingdom, the kingdom of heaven. With God as our Father, we have to ask the question, do we actually have anything to fear? Is there anything we truly need to worry about? The answer, of course, is no. Again, words from the Apostle Paul by inspiration. He says, "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father." That's from Romans chapter 8. We can cast all our cares and our fears on Him, our Heavenly Father. We can place our lives into His strong hands, and we can pray to Him as boldly and confidently as dear children ask their dear Father, as Martin Luther famously explained in his catechism. I believe in God the Son. Think of how important that is. Think of what a blessing it is that we believe in God the Son, Jesus Christ. Not just believe that He existed, that He lived on this earth as a man, but also believe that He is true God, God's Son. Notice in this very familiar text that we read today for our sermon text that Jesus claims this for Himself, claims to be God in at least three statements in these five short verses. First of all, He says, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." That's from verse 18. All authority in heaven and on earth is given to Jesus. That claim can only be made by God. That reality can only be claimed by God. And how did Jesus prove that He had that authority and could make that claim? Well, think about the fact that He was standing there. He was alive. What had happened to Jesus not too many days before He spoke these words to His disciples? He had been crucified. He died a horrific death on the cross, and yet He rose from the dead as He predicted. And if that wasn't enough, shortly after He spoke these words to His disciples, He also ascended into heaven. Again, further proof that He is God and can say all authority in heaven and on earth is given to Him. Secondly, the second phrase Jesus claims to be God in this section of Matthew. In His command to baptize all nations, notice that He includes Himself as well as the Holy Spirit in this command to baptize. He says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Why would Jesus give a command to make disciples by baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit if all the people He mentions there are not actually one God? Would it make any sense for Jesus to command us to baptize in the name of anyone other than God Himself? Could anyone but God Himself give the benefits, the blessings that baptism gives, forgiveness of sins, and faith that are found in the sacrament of baptism? Thirdly, Jesus concludes His words to His disciples and to us in this last chapter of Matthew with this promise. He says, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Only God can be everywhere. Only God can say, "I will be with you," and mean it for everyone. Only God can say he'll be with us until the end of time. That's what Jesus meant by the end of the age. And Jesus says that he will do exactly that. Again, what a great comfort. What a blessing to know and believe that the one who came down from heaven to be our brother, to live a perfect life among us and for us, to die, to forgive us, and to rise again to give us eternal life in heaven with him, is the one who will be with us always. I believe in God the Holy Spirit. Why is it such a blessing and so important to believe in the Holy Spirit? Well, without the Holy Spirit and his work in our hearts, we wouldn't be able to say with a genuine living heart of faith, I believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us that is the Holy Spirit's work, creating faith in our hearts. The Bible says no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who made us children of God by bringing us to faith in God through the Word of God. I'll read again those words that we read earlier from the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 8. I'll include a few verses around there which tell us of the importance of the Holy Spirit bringing us into God's family. This is from Romans chapter 8, verses 14 through 16. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. The Holy Spirit is our comforter, our helper. He is the Spirit of truth who will guide us into all truth as Jesus promised. He is the one who opens up our hearts and our minds through the Word of God to know God, and to know that when we open our mouths each Sunday to confess, I believe, what we are believing is actually the truth. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That is the name you have been baptized into. That is the name of the one true God who saved you from sin, from death, and even hell itself. The triune God is our God, the God who loves us, the God who still promises that he is with us always, even to the end of the age. By his grace, may we always be led to say with full confidence and full faith those blessed words, I believe. Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.